All right, welcome to another edition of Student Terror Podcast. I'm here today with Isa Habib. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. This is exciting.
Much appreciated. Can you tell the audience a little bit about yourself?
Yes, for sure. So my name is Isa Habib, as Jacob just told you. Jacob, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't want to mess that up. I'm 25 years old. I've been studying in Canada for the past 7 years. And just recently, like the past month, I moved from Canada to UAE, back home where my parents are from. My parents are from Kuwait, although I was born and raised in Sharjah, UAE. I'm doing a Bachelor's of Science, majoring in biology, but at the same time, I'm an aspiring filmmaker, so I've been doing a lot of film projects for the past few years and volunteering where I got to explore some of that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So at what age did you start to discover your love for film?
Yeah, so it's as early as I can remember. I think because I grew up and my dad, even if I couldn't comprehend it as a kid, but my dad would take me on to the streets and he'd record everything. My dad was like kind of documenting us as kids a lot. So it kind of was engraved in me, like holding a camera, shooting stuff. So when I would see my dad, sitting down, editing videos of us as kids, I grew up like around like I'd say 13, 14, 15, those ages where I was like, I got my first camera, I got to do stuff for school. That's when I actually started making videos, where I actually fell in love with not just the process of making a video, but the process of like the post-production, which is like the editing, and if you want to like introduce After Effects. And because as a kid, my uncle also he told me he saw I was making a lot of videos, and he gave me like these CDs and tutorials. He's like, oh, go check out this guy Andrew Kramer, who's like big in Hollywood now. He's done like J.J. Abrams films now, but back in the day he was just doing tutorials on like Adobe After Effects, and I would like literally like follow step by step what he was doing online, and I would create like this Harry Potter After Effect thing, and just as a kid, it was really fun to play, mess around with. Yeah, so I enjoyed it because it was like a way for me to express myself as a kid, and I loved movies a lot, and I watched a lot of movies, and I just wanted to be in that world kind of.
Right. Yeah. Well, when you decided to pursue like your college career and go for a Bachelor's of Science, was there ever like a confliction of, this is what I really want to do versus this what is a little more an easier path, or how did you work through that?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, because early days in high school, I'd say when I was 14, 15 up until I was 18 years old, there was that kind of conflict going on, because my parents saw that, especially my dad saw that I was like very active, like doing videos, but at the same time my mom was like very, very encouraging about the fact you need a good education, you need to study well, get good grades, go for a good school and that kind of stuff. So when I like reached right around age 16, 17, I started like kind of ignoring the whole video thing, because it was like, especially in our culture, filmmaking is kind of looked down upon. It's not a very serious, at the time I was growing up, it was not taken seriously like as a career path. My cousins or whatever, they'd say, oh, just keep it as a hobby, focus on school, do well, become a doctor, lawyer, like engineer, whatever. So I kind of subconsciously took that in, and I was like, okay, I'm not gonna reach anywhere with like videos, and it's like obviously I completely believe something different now, but back in the day I was like, this is not gonna get me anywhere, videos. So I went full on school and basically doing biology, chemistry, all that stuff in school. I did my IGCSEs and kind of like really like focused my energy on that, and I did eventually get good grades, and which led me to me making the decision, oh, I want to be a doctor, why not, right? I did really well in sciences, and I got really good grades in biology. My mom wants me to be a doctor, everything lined up where I was like, let's apply for medicine, let me go for that medicine path. Even though I just left the passion that I had for filmmaking, which was something I've always had, and I didn't realize it, I just kind of ignored it at that time.
Right.
But then eventually things changed when I moved abroad to Canada, and I kind of re-explored it somehow because of coincidence and stuff like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How was the move moving from the Middle East to Canada?
Yeah. So growing up, I had four older sisters, and have a few younger siblings too. But four older sisters, all of them they studied at home, they studied in Sharjah, AUS, that kind of stuff. So I wanted to be different kind of thing, so
yeah.
I've always, as a kid, I always wanted, I want to travel abroad, I want to study in the UK, I want to go for the US, Like Canada wasn't even in my mind right. back in the day. Like it was just like an option that I had. So I'm like, yeah, like even like working towards getting good grades was for me to like study abroad. So I kept asking my teachers like, how will I be able to study abroad? If I want to study in the UK, how will I do it? So they're like, yeah, you can apply, blah, blah, blah. So after I got my grades, I did eventually apply for a scholarship from the Kuwait government, Ministry of Education. They send out students every year where for students interested. So I wanted medicine, I put that as an option. And then I'm like, okay, US, UK, and then Canada was like my third option, just because it was like near the US.
Yeah.
So I didn't really take it seriously, but then I actually got accepted to study in Canada.
Okay.
Through the scholarship program. And then that's what led me to like to move there. And then obviously the move, I was very excited. I was 17, 18 years old mm-hmm. during the time. I was very excited, you know, my mom came with me for the first time for the first 2 weeks. So the move like felt like, oh, and you know, fresh new start for me, and I want to be independent, that kind of stuff. So I was very excited, obviously. And I was a very social, I still am, but back then I was like very social, you know, energetic, so I'd be like open to these kind of experiences. But then when reality like hits you and you like your mom leaves you and you stay there alone and you're like so far away from home, and if you've never been that far away from home before, that kind of like the struggle of that, the homesickness and all that, it took time for it to sink in, but it did eventually affect me, like especially my grades. The first 3 years of school in Calgary where I moved in, it wasn't, my grades were not well, like I couldn't even continue the program that I was in because of how much I was struggling with the fact that I was living alone, but at the same time, like, what am I doing? Am I in the right career? I've not been trained to like study in a way that is the university life, how it's different from high school. So a lot of things like played a role in me not succeeding for the first 3 years in Canada, and like in terms of academics. But other than that, I got to be introduced to volunteering because there's a huge culture in Canada about volunteering. Like, oh, you need to volunteer for you to even apply for med school. You can't even apply for med school if you can't volunteer. So I'm like, yeah, let me try this out. Like, and I did eventually, and that kind of re-energized my life for like both like passion for filmmaking and for school and stuff.
Right,
like that.
Right. What type of volunteer, what avenues what places did you volunteer in? Like, what was that experience like?
It was amazing. The first volunteer experience for me, it was just like a random thing because I just signed up just to do it, like because I wanted to travel. I love traveling. I've always loved traveling. And then it seemed like a nice opportunity for me to travel. But then I realized, okay, I signed up for this thing where it's community development. And I didn't realize at the time that would be something I would be so interested in. Mm-hmm. So I signed up. It's a community development. Basically, is like there's a lot of volunteer programs, like you can find them anywhere, but that focus heavily on this aspect of volunteering, which is basically you go to visit a place or you go to work on a project which focuses more on like community building, which is like either renovating a school, building a school from scratch, or teaching kids, that kind of stuff. So all that in one type of like sector, you'd say, that was where I first got introduced to volunteering. So the first trip that I went to was Costa Rica for 2 weeks, and I lived with a host family there, a five-member family which spoke only Spanish. I couldn't even speak a word in Spanish before I went there.
Right.
Yeah, and then I had to learn Spanish when I was there. It was amazing. They had to go fishing for money, and I went fishing with them and the family. So just that experience in a small island in Costa Rica, that was amazing. And we also got to work on a project in there where we got to build, renovate a school. So that kind of stuff, like when I first did it, I didn't really like understand that I was doing any of this. But then at the end of the trip, at the end of the 2 week trip, I'm like, wow, this is amazing. Like I took part in not just like a life-changing experience, but this is for me a way for me to like find my purpose, make a difference, hopefully like maybe document, because I did take my GoPro that time just as a way to like to document for my parents,
right,
to show my mom, whatever.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, wow, I actually can make like a film about this. Like, you know, I can tell a story of like how people travel and do these volunteering experiences. So like a lot of ideas just came in my head. Like I'm like, so this is like, there's so much more to this. So I signed up for another volunteer trip and another and another. Eventually I got to do like five other trips around the world. So, and I was lucky enough to even in the last two trips, in the last trip that I did to Sri Lanka, I was actually the project manager of the trip.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, wow.
So I started off as just a volunteer and I had my own project manager at Bilad. And then eventually after a bunch of trips, I got to lead two groups to Sri Lanka, and I was managing them, and that was an amazing experience. Like, if I want to do that again, I would do that. Like, I would do that part again because I loved because I've always been about leadership roles and stuff like that. Even in high school, I was head boy of the school, president of the school. So the fact that I got to do something I loved, which is volunteering, but at the same time I had a leadership role in that, that for me, like, that was like an amazing experience. So I'm planning to do other trips later this year, maybe, or maybe next year, where I get to the chance to either do project manager, or there's another thing that I want to talk about as well, which is this startup that my friend is starting up, where it's like a nomad-led customized travel. So basically, okay. You sign up for a nomad, like, for example, I'm the nomad. Anyone can sign up and join me on a trip to whatever. I'd lead it, and then we do something specific on that trip,
Okay, yeah. So it's like Airbnb, but then you get a host of someone that actually really knows what you want.
Oh, that sounds like a brilliant idea.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. It's like Uber, but like for traveling and like with a specific guy. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, but Airbnb is a perfect way.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think it's beautiful nowadays with YouTube, where like before, you know, maybe a generation before, you would go to a certain place and you have pictures or postcards, but nowadays you have personal, you know, experiences. You can go on YouTube and see videos of people's experiences personally. And I think you've done that a bit with your project about like filming yourself every day.
Mm-hmm.
Can you share the audience a little bit more about that?
Yeah,
that's really fascinating.
So yeah, it's very funny you bring up YouTube, because that's actually where I started. Like I made videos and posted them on YouTube and Facebook back in the day.
Okay.
Facebook was like just for my friends to see, like, hey, you know, watch this cool video I made.
Yeah.
But yeah, eventually I did make videos on YouTube, but I didn't really like, because YouTube took a lot of effort for me to make, because I would consider like YouTube as like a film project. Like, if I want to post something on YouTube, it has to be something, which obviously I don't believe in that anymore, but back in the day, like, if I wanted to post something on YouTube, it'd be like something like very, like, you know, fine-tuned or like kind of thing. So I'd go volunteering and create a film about it and then post it on YouTube. Eventually, that gave me a lot of opportunities. I got to be on TV interviews.
Oh, wow.
And there was a show called Qumra TV, which is like, Ahmed Chigeri, I don't know, he's like a very like influential TV personality in the Middle East. He created this program where it was like a video competition program on NBC, and I got to like participate and even win some sort of like the category that I was in. So it was the traveler category.
Okay.
So yeah, that was really awesome. Yeah, and that was like kind of, for me, like at the start of like, oh, I can really like achieve stuff with my videos.
Mm-hmm.
And that led me to making short films, because I've always loved telling stories. I made my first kind of like professional short film in 2017, and I won an international Emmy Award, Young Creatives Award by the International Emmys.
Wow.
Where I got to go to New York and receive the award. And
beautiful.
Yeah. So like that, all these things happened while I was in school, while I was trying out volunteering. Like, it was like a bunch of stuff happening at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I can connect the dots and see like, oh, this is the kind of decisions that I made that led me to all these. But back in the day, I was just like making random decisions, like, I want to make a film, let's do a film.
Yeah.
I want to go travel, let's go travel. It was just like me trying to like experience as much as I can and
right.
do as much as I can. And now I'm more mature in the decisions I make, so which leads me to the question you asked, which is the 365
yeah.
day video,
of course.
Which is, I believe, is the most stupidest decision I've made,
okay.
Kind of in a funny way, but which is like I'm forcing myself to make a video every single day, just because there's a few reasons, obviously, but one of the reasons is like I want to challenge myself like creatively, like I've never done before. I felt, especially last year, 2019, even 2018, after I, like, 2017 was a good year. Like, I got the award, I went to New York, and then after that, I focused a lot on university, and that kind of like dipped, like it crashed my like creativity, I believe. So I didn't do much in 2019. I'm like, you know, 2020 is coming up, and so you haven't been doing much with your passion for filmmaking. Like, you know what, just force yourself to make a video every single day,
right.
and see where that takes you.
Wow.
So for the past month and month and 4 days,
yeah.
I've been making a video every single day, and editing and shooting and documenting, and a lot of people have been like, I've gotten a lot of positive reactions for it. I made a few videos that I'm actually very proud of. And it's been forcing me to like do something every single day,
yeah.
And that's amazing. But at the same time, there's a lot of challenges that come with it. You know, the time consumption, like living a balanced life is hard when you're
absolutely.
Doing all this stuff. So,
absolutely.
So yeah, that's the struggle I'm going through right now.
When you're investing so
yeah.
much time into it, for sure. What type of advice would you give to anybody interested in getting into like filmmaking,
mm-hmm.
or just like what words of advice would you tell them?
That's a tough one. It's like filmmaking is like, if you want to do filmmaking, the tools you have now have never been easier than they have before.
Yeah.
Like I would say 10 years ago, 15 years ago, we actually had to buy a camera. We actually had to go find an editing program. Now everything is literally on your phone. Like if you have an iPhone, if you have any sort of smartphone, you can literally create a film. Like you can shoot a film and edit it on this device and people can see it. Like it's that simple.
Right.
Like, but filmmaking, at the end of the day, it'll, like if you're trying to, like you need to know what you're trying to achieve with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you just documenting? That's okay. Obviously, a lot of people just want to document. Are you trying to tell a story? If you're trying to tell a story, then maybe you need to think about writing. Because writing is a huge part of like the actual art of filmmaking.
Mm-hmm.
I want to improve that personally. I want, especially this year, I want to try to create films that have a lot of like thought put into it, like especially with the writing aspect. A lot of filmmakers, you ask them, like the big filmmakers, you tell them, like, how do, if I want to shoot a video, how do I start? If I want to shoot a film, they tell you just write something.
Right.
Like, you have to start writing something. Like, okay, write a script. Like, even if it's like a terrible script at the beginning, and then really share it with your friends. Like, tell your friend, hey, what do you think of this short film that I want to make?
Mm-hmm.
And then YouTube is literally like your film school.
Right.
Yeah, you don't need to go to film school anymore. Like, obviously, film school can give you a lot of information that you can't find on YouTube, but. But if you want to learn how to edit, it's on YouTube. If you want to learn how to, what camera you want to buy, it's on YouTube. Like everything you want to, every question you have, the answer is online. You can find it. The resources are there. You just need to like put the effort in, like search up in Google, like what kind of like program I should use for this kind of video.
Right.
And it's so simple. Like I've seen kids way younger than me, like, and they're doing amazing things. Like there's this kid, his name is Enes. We shot this haircut video with like Iwan Bull, like he did.
Okay.
The shot, he literally filmed it. And he's like 17 or 18 years old.
Yeah.
I'm so impressed of how like intelligent he is behind the camera.
Right.
And this just proves to me that their age is not like a thing anymore.
Yeah,
it just comes down to like, are you like a person who's willing to put in the work, to learn, to even if you're like old or young, to learn to like, you know, put yourself out there basically. And filmmaking is a very collaborative process. Like you can't rely solely on yourself to do everything. Like a lot of people do like a lot of independent work and that's great, but filmmaking, the amazing thing about filmmaking is that you need to collaborate somehow. Like you need to find someone you wanna like tell a story with. And that like opens up a lot of doors because then you get to meet people who teach you a lot of things. So yeah, that's why I personally love filmmaking a lot because I get to express myself through it and at the same time meet and create with a lot of amazing people.
Right.
And I love like meeting new people who share the same interests and that kind of stuff. Yeah,
absolutely. How do you find in a creative aspect, how do you find the balance between like realism of like this is what's going on and also adding in you said Harry Potter, that you were interested in Harry Potter before and the fantasy of it and like uniting those two worlds. How do you how do you find that balance creatively?
Wow, that's a very strong and deep question. That's a tough question to answer because for me, like even my videos, there's a lot of fantasy that goes into it. Like, it's very cute. Like, the thing about films, when you watch a film, there's a lot of things that play. There's a lot of categories to films, first of all. So it depends on the filmmaker. Like, filmmaking is an art at the end of the day. Are you painting a painting that is a pure, like, for example, like, let me compare it to painting. So someone who's painting you, like, for example, are they trying, like, a painter might try to, like, specifically, like paint you as you are. And then someone might want to add something else, like, create some artistic, just to give it some other spark, whatever it is.
Right.
So it comes down to the filmmaker. What is the filmmaker trying to achieve? Like, me as a filmmaker, I want to, for example, create something that's valuable, but at the same time, entertaining. And how do I entertain people? You know, sometimes I might need to like create a bit, and you know, bits happen all the time on videos. Like for me, I need to say a joke, a specific joke. So I tell my brother like, hey, we need to do this specifically, and I direct him, and then in order for the punchline to hit like that. So there's a lot of like engineering that comes to it.
Yeah.
And it's not like in a sense it's not real, but at the same time, what are you trying to achieve at the end of the day? Are you trying to get a reaction from the audience who's watching your video? If the answer is yes, then obviously you can get a reaction from so many things. Like. A documentary, for example, is a documentarian is, for example, trying to tell a very specific story that is real.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, some documentarians are so focused on one particular aspect of a story that they might seem biased.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of, you know, there's a lot of criticism when it comes to documentaries, for example, that they're telling a biased story because it's from one point of view.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really hard, like, to answer that question about realism and whatever, because what is realism like when it comes to like shooting a video?
Yeah.
Like, at the end of the day, you're taking this footage, which you shot, you're taking it to editor room. Are you just gonna, like, literally paste everything together and post it?
No,
it's not gonna be good or entertaining and probably really long. But,
right.
But yeah, the point is, like, you just need to find your voice. Like, what kind of voice you're trying to, like, put out there? Like, for me, I want to create something entertaining, so I might need to, like, edit some stuff, act in some scenes. Like, I love acting. I've actually taken acting courses as electives in classes. So I kind of come from a background, like, I've done theater classes, I've done filmmaking classes, all that stuff. I'm doing a film minor, too, now. So that whole idea of theatrical, like, acting, like, I want to incorporate that into my videos because I love that. So I've, for example, you'd watch a video of mine and you'd suddenly see me, like, in a bit, like, in a costume and doing some funny stuff like that is out of, like, character.
Right.
And I want to do that because that's the way I want to tell the story. So it really comes down to, like, the filmmaker, you know?
Absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely. So just to wrap everything up, where do you see yourself in 5 years as someone that's still building yourself up? Like, how do you see yourself growing within the industry within 5 years? Like,
5 years is a long time.
It's a long
time.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
even,
absolutely.
Like, I don't know what's going to happen at the end of this year. Because this year, I put myself in this challenge, and I don't know where that's going to lead me.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, at the end of the day, I just want to be a better storyteller. Like, even if I don't, let's say, if God forbid, I stop making videos. I want to tell stories somehow, whether it's from my science background, tell stories, whether as a writer, if I become a writer someday. I just want to keep telling stories, like, authentically, but at the same time, creatively. Like, a story that benefits people, or a story that showcases something people don't know about. So tell stories in a very, like, unique way, and find my voice somehow.
Mm-hmm.
I love expressing myself, and I believe I have a lot of, like, stuff to offer. I'm still young, and I still need to take in a lot of experiences in my life. So I want to travel more. I want to, you know. So yeah, basically, if you ask me, like, what do you want to do in the next 5 years? I want to travel more, make more videos, finish school,
okay.
See where school leads me, and find. Maybe I don't know if I'm gonna ever find a job, or if I'm even gonna get a job or not. A lot of question marks there, but
yeah.
But just, like, you know, pursue my passion, you know, at the end of the day, yeah. And I want, actually, anyone watching this, if they even reach this, like, if you take anything away from me, is, like, literally just put all your heart into your passion. And that will lead you somewhere. It might not lead you where you think you expect, but it will lead you to something great. I'm sure of that. Because we're all here, like, I believe this, and we're all here sent with, like, a gift or a voice to tell something specific. And you just need to find what that is, your passion is, and just, like, go 100% on that.
Right.
I'm trying to do that right now. So.
Definitely. And stuff.
For
sure. More power along your journey, man. We really wish you the best here, man. Thank you so much for your time again, Nisa.
Oh, thank you. It really is an honor. Thank you. Thanks
a lot.
Thanks, I really appreciate it. Thanks, guys. Yeah.
All right,
cool.
That's 3 interesting things.
4